There aren't many passages in scriptures when you read about it, when you read them, that has that kind of impact when you see how God works even through children. And God put this message on my heart a week ago, and 1 Samuel 3:10. It had been a while since I'd visited 1 Samuel, and I was so glad that I did. It's very refreshing. This morning, I'm going to look at 1 Samuel 3:10. Keep your books open to Samuel. If you take notes, I've entitled the message, "Are You Listening? Are You Listening?" And the passage is, "Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, 'Speak, for your servant hears.'" Let's ask the Holy Spirit to open this up to us. Spirit of God, we know that we are spiritual creatures. We know, Lord, that God made us to be immortal. Although our bodies perish, our soul and spirit goes on into eternity, where we will live with our blessed Savior forever. And as we open up this passage, we pray, God, that you help us. You give us a better understanding of the voices, the spiritual voices that speak to us. Help us, O God, to discern them rightly. And help us, Lord, to have not only a better understanding, but help us to find applications in this message that we can use in our life or share with another. And we do pray, if there's one listening online or here has not yet received Jesus Christ, we pray that as this message goes out, it might prick their heart and you might draw them to yourself, to Christ. Father, we thank you for all your word. It speaks to all of our lives. We thank you for that. And we ask you now to be glorified in the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Are you listening? That's a very important thing to say to a group of Christian believers. I think it's fair to say that in the spiritual realm, voices speak to us continually. There's always something going on in our heads. Is that not true? As believers, as born-again believers, we hear the voice of God, we hear the voice of the flesh, and we hear the voice of love. And these are the voices that influence all of our thoughts and choices. God's voice, the voice of the flesh, and the voice of love. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to talk to you about the voices, the spiritual voices that change your life. We hear God speaking to our life when we hear our flesh crying out to be satisfied, to be fed. We hear the voice of love drawing us closer to God. And we hear God speaking to our life in those with those different voices. And every decision we make, large or small, doesn't matter. Every single one of them are shaped by these three powerful voices. They're the molding material God uses to sculpt us or conform us to the image of Christ. And our text this morning is an example of God speaking, in this case, vocally to the boy Samuel. When I say vocally, in the Old Testament, God spoke vocally to certain people. He spoke vocally to Moses. He spoke vocally to Samuel. Generally speaking, it wasn't a vocal thing. It was a spiritual thing. He spoke in the spiritual voice that they could understand, or as the Bible calls it, a vision. Now the Lord came and stood and called out at other times, "Samuel, Samuel," and Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." First thing I want you to note about our text is that the Lord didn't speak to the high priest. He was in charge of the temple that had the Ark of the Covenant. He didn't speak to him. Instead, he spoke to the boy. I tell people all the time, children are the best people in the world to get to pray for you. And the reason is they have more faith and less doubt than we do. And here we see God speaking to the boy. I want you to look at verse 13 because it tells us why God didn't speak to Eli. And the reason was he wasn't listening to him. Verse 13, he told Samuel, "I am about to punish Eli's house forever for the iniquity He knew because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. What's the lesson there? There's an application there for us. What is it? When you hear God speaking to your life, and he speaks to your life in many ways, we're going to see that in a moment, but when you hear God speaking to your life, or if you're reading this book and it's speaking to your life, it should be speaking to your life as a believer, you got to listen. Are you listening to it? Are you acting on it? That's the difference. Eli didn't do that. And the application, in short, is we better listen. We have to start listening to God. He talks to us every day. Did you know that? Does God talk to you every day? Does he, Angel? Every day, doesn't he? He talks to every single human being every day in providence, but to his people, he talks to them in providence, but he talks to them in love as well. Every day. Isaiah 30:21 gives us that truth. The prophet writes, "And your ear shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left." Isn't that what happens? How many times in your life were you planning on doing one thing and something told you to go another way? It even happens to the lost. Remember, the lost still have, their plan is still, their life is still planned by God. Are you listening when he speaks to your heart? The only question is not just listening, but are you anticipating as you go through your life? As you go through your life, Ron, do you anticipate God being there, or you just say it's just another dull day in Dallas? You have to anticipate God being there. Why? Because he is. He's in everything. As Vinny says, he's previous. And that simply means this. It simply means that he is in every event of your life because he picked every event in your life out specifically for you. And the only way that you can anticipate God and truly hear his voice is when you put him in every equation of your life. Everything. It doesn't matter what it is. I told you years ago, and I still do it. I ask him to help me pick out bananas. There's nothing in the world to me that's worse than getting up in the morning and having a nice fresh banana, biting into it, and it's terrible. So every time I go to the store and I get one, I say, "Lord, which one?" And I listen. And my hand moves. And I have to say, more times than not, that's the sweetest banana that I've ever had. And they're not always green. But I pick them because I ask him. That's how simple life can be if you put God in every equation. Doesn't matter. Not to mention that putting him in every equation of your life is a command. It's a command. Did you know that? Psalm 46:10. We just talked about this a couple weeks ago. Be still and know that I'm God. That's not written in as a suggestion. It's a command. Be still and know that I'm God. You be still, you're listening to God. If you're not listening to God, who are you listening to? Oh, we're going to get to that. The voice of God speaks to us, our lives every day, and he does it in many different ways. I'm just going to give you a few of them. The foundational way, the major way he speaks to us is through his word, the Bible. Turn with me to Hebrews. Keep your finger in 1 Samuel, but go to Hebrews chapter 1. And I want you to read this with me. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. This sets it all up. He says, "Long ago, at many times and in many different ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets." That's what Samuel was. "But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son, whom he appointed to be the heirs of all things, through whom also created the world." That's Jesus Christ. He created the world. He speaks through this word that Jesus wrote. What's one of Jesus's name? The word. Because this whole book relates to him and the truth of him. Now, what does it teach us in that book? It teaches us God's will. The Bible speaks about God's will. Now turn with me back to Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2, it's a very important verse that we should all understand. This is God's will. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but what? Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You have to go out and you have to know this book or something about this book. Two commandments, really. Love God above all things and love your neighbor like you love yourself. Everything else is filled in there. And the rest of the stuff is common sense. No drunkenness, no immorality. So my point to you is, we need to know God's will, and there's no other place to get it but in this book. And it should be speaking to all of our lives every day. Scripture also speaks to us about comforting, healing, and delivering us. There's not one of you here that hasn't been comforted by God. There's not one of you here who hasn't been healed by God. And there isn't one of you here that hasn't been delivered by God. The fact that you're here as a believing Christian shows you that you've been delivered from the world and you've been adopted into the kingdom of God. Let's look at Isaiah again. Isaiah 43. This is one of my favorite verses. Isaiah 43, 1 and 3. But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel. What's the first word? Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, Mario. You are mine. Ron, when you pass through the waters, Vinny, I will be with you, Wendy, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you, Diane. When you walk through the fire, Libby, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you, Al, for I am the Lord your God. That's how you should read it. That's you. He's delivering you. He's comforting you. He's healing you. And God's word speaks to us about eternal life. It's not just now. It's eternal life. This is a dress rehearsal. Did you understand that? All this does here is make us ready to go to heaven. And by that, it's this. God's sovereignty means that He knows everything that's ever going to happen to Jane. Everything. He knows her end to the beginning. He knows every prayer, every word, every person. He knows everything about her at all. So why in the world does she have to go through all of this? Because God imputed his love into her and he wants her to know how much she loves him. That's the whole point of it. He already knows everything about us. Everything we do here prepares us for heaven because here is where we find out how much we love God. Here is how we worship him. Here is how we pray to him. Here is how we Only here do we trust, can we trust in him? You're not going to do that in heaven. You're going to be perfect. There's going to be no need of that. It's going to be a time of, as the Bible says, at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Only now. And you have to be sure that you are listening. You are listening to what God's speaking to you through his word. Then one last one, the eternal life. John 14, 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Are you listening to that? He is the way, the truth, and the light, and nobody comes to the Father except through him. Are you listening to that? Are you thinking about that? Do you understand that when you go out into that world, you are an alien in this world today? You're a sojourner. You're just passing through. And the reason you're just passing through is because this is not your home, the Bible says. God speaks to us in so many ways. Here's a little homework. When you go home today, take a few minutes, sit down with a piece of paper and a pencil, and think about last week and think about how many times God delivered you. Think about how many times you put him in the equations of your life. Think about that. And if you're not happy with what you see, then do something about it. Change. Providence. That's a big one. Providence is another way God speaks to our life, is it not? The Bible is filled with providential accounts to show God speaking to his people's lives. There's not one of you listening or sitting here that hasn't felt God's providence. How many times again have you been doing something and all of a sudden you say, I don't want to do that? That's providence. That's God speaking to your life. Examples include, how about the account of Joseph and his brothers? You remember the story? Joseph's brothers were jealous of him. So when he went to bring him some food and water as they were tending sheep, they got him, they tied him up, they were going to kill him. Providence, he wasn't going to be killed. Instead, they said, okay, we'll sell him to the midnight traders. So they did, and they sold him as a slave. And he went to Egypt. And in doing that, God opened up the eyes of the Pharaoh by Joseph interpreting dreams. And in doing that, he became second only to Pharaoh. And it was a great famine in Israel. And people were dying. So Jacob sent down people, some of his sons, to get some supplies from Egypt. Well, sooner or later, they came all the way down because Joseph said, come down here yourself, bring them, all of them. And then he revealed who he was. They knew, and they were frightened. And when Jacob died, he would, if anybody was going to do something to you for what you did, they would do it before the patriarch, after he died. So in that case, after Jacob died, turn to Genesis 5:20. Genesis 5:20. Here Moses writes, as for you, that's Joseph talking to his brothers, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. He saved Israel. He saved Israel through God's providence. By allowing him, I think I've preached this message. There's 25 providential things that had to happen, starting with Moses being a baby, being laid in a basket, being thrown in a river when the princess was exactly there at exactly the right time. The basket didn't leak. It went down. The princess heard the cry. The princess picked him up. It went from that to Moses, all the way down to Jesus Christ. And you being here today is part of that providential plan. All of it. Him going to the cross. The providential plan was there had to be somebody to cause him to be arrested. It was he faced betrayal. Judas betrayed him. He betrayed him, and in betraying him, it wasn't just a betrayal and it was an act. It was part of a providential plan to bring Christ to the cross so you and I would be here today. God's providence works in everything. It doesn't matter what it is. Each one of you didn't pick your mother. You didn't pick your father. You didn't pick your color of your skin. You didn't pick the geography where you live or even the time that you were going to be born. You picked none of it. All God's providence for you and everybody who's ever lived. God's providence led Jesus to Samaria. Remember, he says, I must needs go to Samaria. The God man had a providential plan laid out for him. He had to go there. Turn with me to John 4:39. This is where providence led Jesus to Samaria and the woman at Jacob's well. John 4:39. He sat there, he told the woman what about her life. This only God could have done that. And so when his disciples came, he was talking to her, and then she left and she went and she told the town. And read what it says in verse 4, chapter 4, verse 39. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him. You have to understand something. Samaritans were exiled. They had no gospel. They had no law. They weren't Jews. They weren't believing Jews. And all the Jews in Israel shunned them because they had taken wives from Gentiles. They had done that. Now, salvation could only come to them if Jesus was led there and Jesus brought salvation to them. And the same thing applied with Paul. When Paul wanted to go to Asia Minor, what did the Holy Spirit tell him? No, don't go. Instead, he went to Europe, and that's where salvation was. That's all providential. That's God speaking to mankind in mass. And he does that too. Adversity and affliction are other providential choices God uses in speaking to people. I know myself, I've dealt with people that were sick for long periods of time. There was something in that that helped me grow. It helped the person I was helping grow. All of you here that face affliction, you or adversity, you can look at that one or two ways. You can look at it and say, woe is me, why me all the time? Or you can look at it and say, Lord, thank you, because from this, I'm going to learn something. I'm going to grow with it. As a matter of fact, Psalm 119 says, it is good for me that I was afflicted. Why? That I might learn your statutes. You can't know God's word until you live it. You don't understand what comfort is until you really have something bad happen to you. You can't understand what deliverance is until you're in a box and you see no way out. You can't understand it till you live it. And that's what the Bible does. That's God's providence. He brings each and every one of us. You know, I often think of this. I'm going to be 79 this year, and I have to tell you this. I'm a picture of health. I have great health record. Great. Great memory still. Great. I have all that stuff going for me. That wasn't me doing it. I smoked 3 packs of cigarettes a day before I quit. It wasn't me. If there was anything that anybody that hurt themselves physically for the food they ate or the things they did, I was a poster child for it. I am the way I am because it's part of the plan. You are the way you are because it's part of the plan. And it may not even be for you. It wasn't for me, it was for other people. I could not come up here and talk to you about the things that I talked to you about unless I had been through all that stuff. And you do the same thing. Everything in your life should be a guiding rule as a Christian. This happened to me, so I can talk to somebody that it's happening to them. I know what comfort is. I lost a loved one. I lost a couple of loved ones. I know what comfort is. I know what pain is. I know what it is to yell at God because I'm frustrated. I don't know what to do, just like a little kid. But then God speaks to you, and he doesn't, hey, Brian, what are you doing? Wake up. I'm up here, okay? Stop being a baby. He doesn't do that. You know what he lets me do? He lets me do the same thing that we'd let our children do. When they're all upset about something, you don't go over there, okay, come on, smile. Here's some candy. You don't do that. You let them cry. You know why? Because they have to get it out. Otherwise, they'll suffer later on. That's the problem today with people who look back. That's the problem today with people who won't let go because they never stopped and grieved and then got over it and left it behind. God doesn't do that. You lose something or someone, you suffer something, anything. God is going to speak to your life as a believer, as his child. He's going to speak to your life. And he's going to help you get over that. He's going to deliver you. He's going to comfort you. And most importantly of all, if you do it correctly, you're going to grow from it. And when I say grow, it means you're going to grow closer to him. And in growing closer to him, you grow closer in blessings, in understanding. And most importantly of all, you grow in love of him. Why? How can you not love somebody that does all the things he's done for you? And just forget the cross. Just from the cross forward, how can you not love somebody that delivers you from yourself? Which one of us here has a worse enemy than our own self? Which one of us here has tortured ourselves more Who's tortured us more than ourselves? Nobody. And he delivers us from even that. Paul is another example of God using providence to speak to him and to help him grow. That perfect example in 2 Corinthians 12:9. Remember the story? He got a little view of heaven, and God put a thorn in his side. Nobody knows what it is. Everybody guesses. Who cares what it is? He put a thorn in his side to keep his feet grounded so that he'd stay here and do the ministry. And then he said, he prayed three times. And for the ladies' Bible study, see the number three so much in this, in Samuel and everything. He prayed three times that Jesus would remove it. And what did Jesus say? In 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said to me, that's Jesus, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. You understand that? Whenever something's going through your life that seems to drag you down, if you're a believer, it isn't dragging you down. It's lifting you up. And it's lifting you up simply because from that, you're going to learn something and you're going to grow in some way closer to God. He'll reveal something to you. And the question you have to always ask yourself, are you listening? Are you listening to him? Look, if you were in 2 Corinthians 12:9, verse 10. First he says in verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect. So the response by Paul is in verse 10. He says, for the sake of Christ, then, here it comes. I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. And here it comes, right, Joe? For when I am weak, then I am strong. You understand that? When I am weak, then I am strong. Why? Because he's taking care of you. You just have to remember to listen to his voice. One last point on God's providence. Speaking to us, all circumstances, adversities, illnesses, all circumstances in our life, whether we consider them good or we consider them bad, irrelevant. All circumstances are orchestrated to work out for what? Our good. Do you understand that? Are you listening to that? Are you listening? All things work out for our good. Romans 8:28. That should be tattooed on our walls. It should be wallpaper everywhere. All things, Andrew, work out for your good. So although we plan our lives and our days, we do that every day, generally, it's really God's providence that speaks to our lives. Proof verse is Psalm 16:9. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. You understand that? We do our planning. You could do your planning. But understand this. If you're listening for voices, for spiritual voices from God or from his providence, you'll hear them. You'll hear them. Are you listening? Are you listening to what I'm telling you this morning? Are you listening? Or are you like Eli? You know what God wants from you, but you refuse to do it. You got to ask yourself that question. Am I listening? Or are you like Eli? He knew what to do with his sons, but he didn't do it. You and I know what we need to do because this book tells us. Do you do it? Eli was judged for not doing it. I pray that those that have ears to hear will hear. Now the second voice, or maybe the third, who knows, is the second voice, the voice of the flesh. We don't need to talk too much about that. All of us, we've all heard the voice of the flesh, right? We've all heard it. Most of our lives, and before we're saved, that's the only voice we hear is the voice of the flesh. And by the way, unsaved people hear spiritual voices too. They have a spiritual father. John 8:44 says, you are of your father, the devil, and it's his will you want to do. And so we do. Now, I want to explain something to you that I think is kind of important because a lot of people say, what does it mean to be in the flesh? Well, the Lord gave me something and I want to share it with you. In Scripture, the flesh is the part of us, is the part of us that hasn't been regenerated. I think it's Second Thessalonians tells us that we're a tripart being. We're composed of a body, soul, and a spirit. The body is the carcass, the flesh. The soul is our intellect, and the spirit is the thing that God awakened when he called us so we could communicate with him and hear his voice. Those are the three parts. And when we were regenerated, he only regenerated our spirit and our soul. He did not regenerate the thing we call the flesh. Now, to be clear, the flesh is not a specific reference to flesh and bones. It is not. No, it's part of it's the part of us God did not regenerate the flesh, but it because that part of us still identifies with the world. Did you understand that? That's why you have sometimes worldly thoughts. You have sinful thoughts. It's because the part that isn't regenerated is still identifying or being influenced by the world. That's what it is. We call it the flesh. You know why? Because it lusts for things that feed our carnality. So you could say the flesh is our carnality that has not been regenerated. And all of those things, pride, selfishness, anger, sensuality, greed, all of those things are things that the flesh, our carnality crave and wants to be fed with. So I just, again, there's a part of us that still identifies with the world, and that identification with the world causes us to lust for the things that feed ourselves. Selfishness is another one. Do you understand that? That's a wonderful understanding. I've never heard anybody ever say that. I've never heard it explained quite that way. Now, let me give you a Bible verse that backs all of this up. Turn with me to Romans chapter 7. You know where I'm going, Vinny. Here, Paul describes the unregenerated identity I just talked to you about. Here it is. Romans 7. I'm going to read verses 21 to 25. So Paul writes, so I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, I like that, but I see in my members, my flesh, another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that indwells my members. That's the part that's not regenerated. That's the part of you that still identifies with the world, the desires of the world. Then he goes on to say, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And then he says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now here it comes. So then I myself, Paul, serve the law of God with my mind. But with my flesh or my identity that's still out for the world, I serve the law of sin, not in bondage. He's not bondage. He's not saying I'm in bondage to it. That's why you don't practice sin. Sin is something that occurs to you, but you don't practice it. In other words, you do it. We're all sinners. All believers are sinners to a degree, but it's not something we live in. And that's what he's saying. That's what bondage is. Bondage is you living in sin. Do you understand that? So at the end, he says, so then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, his soul, but with my flesh, that part of us that's not regenerated, I serve the law of sin. And it's not bondage. He's not practicing it. We fall into sin. We allow ourselves to sin, or we cause ourselves to sin, and we don't stop it. Why? Because we're not listening to the voice of God. We're listening to the voice of the flesh. The answer or the solution to silencing the voice of the flesh, and what you do is more not silence it as much as you mute it, is in Galatians 5:16. Turn to Galatians 5:16. Galatians 5:16. Here he writes, Paul, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So what is he saying? Walk in the Spirit, and you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. Be in God's word, think and listen to God, and you will not be in God's word, in the flesh. You will not be in it. The Spirit of God wars against the spirit of the flesh. And the more of God that you take in, the more you get out of your comfort zone and get ready for that flesh to talk to you, that voice to talk to you, the more you do that, the less likely you are to do it. The less likely you are to do it. And the last shape that shapes, the last voice that shapes our life is the voice of love. In essence, this is the voice of our choice. That's really what love is. I got a proof verse for you for that. First, let me say this. Every time I choose to obey God, every single time I choose to obey God and not listen to the voice of the flesh, I am speaking to him with the voice of love. I'm going to show you this. Go to John 14, 21. That verse reveals the truth. John 14, 21. He said, he who has my commandments and what? Keeps them, it is he who what? Loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. You see, the voice of love is the voice of obedience. Saying, when the flesh talks, I have to make a choice. My choice is, this is what God doesn't want. This is what God wants. I'm making that choice. We all do that. And the choice is, I want to serve God. I don't want to serve self. I don't want to serve sin. I want to serve God. And that's a choice. And what I'm doing in that choice is I'm saying, I hold you higher than I hold myself. Because all sin is about you. It's personal. Well, besides the sin we commit that we're not aware of. But for the sin we're aware of, I'm saying that I love God more than I love that. And that's the voice of love. That's how you defeat sin. You walk in love. You love God more than you love anybody else. Somebody was talking to me this morning, and I mentioned in a Bible study in Matthew, it says that you have to hate your father, your mother, all that stuff. It's a lesser love. God has to be the central love of your life. You know why? Because he gave you his love. And if you have his love, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he does it in love. Every time I choose to obey God, I'm speaking the voice of love. When I choose to love God over all things, including myself, God reveals himself to me. James 4:8, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. And isn't that true? If I love God more than me, if I choose to love God rather than sin, if I choose that, I'm actually showing or telling God how much I love him in an act. And what is love? If you look it up in the dictionary, what is it? It's a verb. It's something you do. Loving God is the voice that we give our Heavenly Father when we obey him. And lastly, our text ends with the boy Samuel answering God. He says, speak, for your servant hears. And using the term speak, for your servant hears, first of all, when he uses the word servant, he's placing himself under God's authority. He's not saying, what are you saying? What's up? Who are you? He's not doing that. Your servant hears. Do you hear? Do you hear God speaking to your life every day, every moment of the day, actually, in everything you do and say? You see, Samuel placed himself under God's authority. Then he anticipated. Once he did that, He anticipated that God would speak to him, and he was listening. He was waiting patiently for God to speak to him. Do we do that? Do you do that? Do you wait for God to speak to you? Do you listen for him? Do you anticipate him? Do you ask him, Lord, I know you're there. What do you think? Should we do this or not? Well, I'm not going to do it until you tell me. So let's just go on and I'll ask you again in a little while. That's how you do it. His ears, another thing. His ears were open to hear what God had to say. How about you? Are your ears open to hear God's, to hear the voice of God's word, the voice of his providence? You have to open your ears to that. You have to really have a desire to do that. If we had as much desire for God as we did for our flesh before we were saved, we'd all be close to God. But we don't have that. We need that. We need to have the desire to hear him. We need to trust in him. And we need to listen to his voice. And if you're listening to this and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, who in the world are you listening to? You're listening to somebody. Everybody's got this, the bats in the belfry up there, right? Everybody does. And if you're not saved, what you're doing is you're listening to two voices. You're listening to your spiritual father, the devil. John 8:44 says you are of your father, the devil, and it's his will you want to do, simply put. And that simply means that without Christ, you don't know God. We talked about that when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. You have to know Jesus Christ. You have to receive him. The church can't save you. The pastor can't save you. You can't do anything good enough to save you. None of the dead saints can save you. Nobody can save you because this book, God's book, says that no one comes to the Father but by me. That's it. End of the story. That's all you have. And if you have not done that, if you've heard the truth about God and it comes out of the Bible, and by the way, men do not supersede God. I know people that take the Bible and they read it and they say, well, it means this and this. Poppycock, it does not. God never contradicts himself, and he says Jesus is the only way. So the voices you're listening to is your spiritual father, the devil. And the other voice you're hearing to is the voice of self and sin, because you can do nothing. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please him. So you can't do anything that's worthwhile to God in any way to ever make it to heaven. There was a video that says, if you're sick, you got two problems. You're either going to get better or you're going to get worse. I can tell by laughing, some of you have seen that. It goes all the way to the end. And the end of it is this. If you die in your sin, you got two problems. Well, actually, one problem. You're going to go to hell, and that's the end of it. There's no do-overs. I say that because it's so clear in the Bible. Jesus spoke more about hell. He spoke more about, search the scriptures, and you'll find me in them. And how many people don't do that? How many people are too lazy? Oh, I go to church. I throw money in a bucket. I sing. I do all. I'm going to heaven. No, you're not. If you love God, you got to listen to him. You got to grow in grace. You got to have a purpose for your life. And your purpose revolves around that cross. Doesn't mean you live differently than most people, in the sense being that now I'm like, got to do certain things this way and I can only just. No, God says I'm free to. Paul says I'm free to do all things, but I don't want to do all things. You're listening to the wrong voice if you don't know Christ. You have to understand that. And if you don't understand that, if you're online or you're here, you have to understand that the penalty is death. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, the penalty or the wages of sin is death. And then it goes on to say, but the free gift is life in Jesus Christ. All you have to do is admit that you're a sinner. You have to go up to God and say, you know what, Lord? I know that I've sinned. I see you. I understand who you are. I understand that you are sovereign. And I know that I've sinned against you. And all I need to do is tell you I'm sorry. And I am. And I'm really sorry that I offended you. And I pray that you would send your son to save me. Now, first of all, you need to have the faith to do that. And it has to be sincere. And if you do, the Bible makes it clear. All who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. He has never rejected anybody that came to him with a contrite heart. Never. You won't be the first either, because he'll never do that. So if that's you, you call or see me, then I'll show you in his word how much he wants you to listen to the voice of God, the voice of providence, and the voice of love. For my brothers and sisters, spiritual takeout, are you listening? And who are you listening to are questions that you should ask yourself every day. You're only going to have three voices in your head. Ask yourself every moment of the day when you're doing something, who am I listening to right now? If you do that, then I know that you'll have a closer walk with God, number one, and number two, he'll draw closer to you. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for all the, well, for the wonderful way you opened up my mind to these voices, because, Lord, we all have those rattling around in our heads, and I have an understanding of them now. And I pray that my brothers and sisters, Lord, would have the understanding that they're going to speak, only three people are going to speak to them spiritually. God, help us, Lord, to listen to your voice, the voice of love and providence. Help us, Lord, oh God. We thank you that we have the ability to come to you and to ask you for everything, and we should. The Bible says, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, trust in the Lord, and he will guide your path. And so, God, we do. We trust you. So I pray as we sing our last hymn, Lord, that you would let some of the things that's been said here float around in our mind, and pray that your voice, would help us to have a better understanding of what it means to the term, are you listening? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.